get anything wrong with corruption. If you are a politician and you left office and you don't have a nice car to drive, people insult at you. This person built two houses, what did you get from politics? And so it's like we have accepted it as part of our culture. And that makes our society a mad society. When other societies are moving away from this, we are religiously propagating it and glorifying it and then rewarding people who have been reported to be corrupt or who have amassed so much wealth through corruption.
On the oil sector and corruption, Dr. Amin Adam said local content implementation is needed to oversee revenues made in the oil sector.
We don't have open and competitive bidding process for giving out oil concession. And so there's so much corruption around contracts. We do not have any requirement for the disclosure of beneficial ownership information.
That report.
The non-existence of a board to harmonize policies, supervise and regulate activities in the oil palm sector has been identified as a setback to its growth. This, according to industry players, is depriving the country of the huge economic prospects for the national kitty. This came up at an oil palm stakeholders forum in Accra. Ibrahim Donko was there.
Oil palm undoubtedly has and continues to play a significant role in Ghana's economy. The product, which was exported to some Asian countries some years ago, has now become their number one export commodity, with Ghana becoming a net exporter of the crop. Attempts have been made to reverse the trend, but have yielded minimal results. It is for this and other reasons that the Ghana Oil Palm Development Association of Ghana, OPDAG, organized the forum, which brought together all stakeholders to find a lasting solution. The objective is to overturn the current 50,000 tons deficit. The president of the association, Samuel Avala Awonia, told Radio Ghana that the forum will tackle three thematic areas. These are the lack of a board, land tenure system, and low yields. He further highlights other issues to be considered and the way forward.
We believe that looking at the state of the industry now, our first and most important objective will be to help our small-scale and smallholder farmers and millers to adopt best practice so that their yields or productivity can be improved. And in fact, more specifically, we think that it can be doubled in 5 to 10 years. Why we seek to actually improve the yield is that 80% of our total production locally is coming from the smallholders and small-scale producers. And yet they are the least productive in terms of yields and oil extracting rates.
The Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture in charge of crops, Dr. Alhassan Yakubu, admitted that the nation has failed to promote oil palm to its deserved position among exportable crops. He said proper structures would have propelled the crop to become a major export commodity, just as cocoa. He advised the stakeholders to be guided by the ministry's master plan formulated some years ago in their deliberations. Dr. Yakubu pledged government support to help champion the growth of the oil palm industry.
With all the advancement, why has West Africa lost its leading position in oil palm production in Asia? Many answers have been stated for this development. In this context, that the master plan study on oil palm was commissioned by the Minister of Food and Agriculture with the government, and this was to help address challenges within the sector in order to take advantage of the competitive and comparative advantages as an instrument to harness the key potential of the oil palm industry. The government will continue to provide the policy and investment framework to encourage robust investment from the private sector to show up in jobs so far.
An industrialist, Nana Apiamenka, who is also a patron of the association, emphasized the need for a board which he said is long overdue.
Ibrahim Donko.
More than 5,000 farmers in four districts of the Bonohafu, Northern and Upper West regions are expected to receive various sums of money from the World Food Programme for rendering intensive labour on the construction and rehabilitation of irrigation dams in their localities. The development under the programme, known as Asset Creation, will see beneficiaries given between 470 and 644 Ghana cedis in accordance with their output during the period of construction. Speaking to newsmen after witnessing the payment process at Nabugubele in the Sisala East District of the Upper West Region, the country director of the World Food Programme, Ms. Mutinta Chikuma, said the objective of the programme is to help address the root causes of food insecurity. William Osubwase has filed this report.
More than 2,000 farmers in the Sisala East district of the Upper West region have been earmarked to receive 1 million Ghana cedis after having completed work on four of the dams in Tafiase, Kasampuri and Jijen communities. The country director of the World Food Programme, Mutinsa Chikuma, pointed out that often the poorest and most food insecure people live in highly degraded environments, adding that such communities need critical assets as a long-term measure in building their resilience. She said the World Food Program has ventured into supporting communities towards the construction and rehabilitation of small dams and dugouts with the aim of improving beneficiaries' livelihoods and promoting food security, among others. Ms. Chikuma noted that the engagement of indigenes for the construction work was aimed at promoting community ownership of the irrigation facilities, whereas the cash payment is to help stimulate the local economy of the beneficiary communities. The DCE for the area, Johnson Sabu, lauded the intervention of the World Food Program as it goes a long way to ease off the pressure on government in ensuring food security among the vulnerable. He appealed to the youth to go into dry season farming instead of migrating to the south in search of non-existent jobs.
That report was filed by William Osubwating.
The Ministry of Food and Agriculture, MOFA, says the veterinary services have destroyed over 40,000 birds since the outbreak of bird flu in parts of the country. The affected regions are the Greater Accra, Volta and Ashanti. This was made known by the Deputy Minister in charge of livestock, Dr. Hanabisu, at a media briefing in Accra. Peggy Amofasoa was there.
The Greater Accra region recorded the highest cases in 9 districts, Volta in 2 districts and Ashanti 1. As part of measures to counteract the flu, Dr. Bisu said the ministry has strictly placed a ban on the movement of poultry products and feed across the country. The ministry will also organize periodic education and training for poultry farmers. She said farms in affected districts will be regularly screened by the Accra veterinary laboratories and issued with certificates if they are free of the infection. But those farms that are free from any infection will be screened and can have their bed strictly processed under the supervision of the veterinary officers and police to the sales point to avoid contact with contaminated materials.
Farms will be certified, the beds will go screened, and we give certificates to farms. And the zones and the beds at the various zones responsible will make sure that movements are strictly within the very zones and not outside the zone. And we'll be cooperating with the security agencies to make sure that this is adhered to. Stakeholders in the poultry industry, if we do not do this, we are doing 2 things. We are killing the industry and government is throwing away money from our own taxes. So for the purposes of this zoning, we have the Accra Metro Assembly. We have Paul Katamansu Municipal, Ningo Franfram, Ga East, Ga South, Ada West, La Nkwantanan, and Lejukuku. And the 5 unaffected districts are Ashama Municipal Assembly, Ga West, Ga Central, Shai, Osoduku, and Aventa Municipal Assembly. These are the 5 unaffected districts that we have. Farms in the outbreak district have enforced strict biosecurity measures, will be regularly screened by the Accra veterinary laboratories and issue certificates if they are free of infection.
Dr. Bisu said the government is working out modalities to pay 90% compensation to affected farmers who have had their poultry and poultry products destroyed by the veterinary services. She advised Ghanaians, especially farmers, to adhere strictly to the measures put in place by the ministry by reporting suspected outbreak.
That was Peggy Amofasoa's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: National Labour Commission directs Ghana Medical Association to call off strike immediately. Anti-corruption experts deliberate on bottlenecks in curbing canker. Stakeholders in oil palm industry call for board to regulate activities. Car bomb explosion outside security building in Egypt injures 6 policemen. And UN warns of famine in Yemen.
Welcome back. The NDC has described the NPP's claim of overbloated voter register due to names of foreigners in the voters' register as an attempt to prepare the grounds for a rejection of their imminent defeat in the 2016 election. The party said claims by the NPP that persons from Togo and Cote d'Ivoire are on the Ghanaian electoral register is not only fraudulent, but also constitutes an attack on the people of the Volta and Bonafu regions. The General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Esiedon Ketia, disputed the authenticity of the alleged Togolese register, which the NPP based its argument on, describing it as absurd. He said a close examination of the pictures presented as evidence by the NPP showed a clear case of deceptive manipulation of photographs taken at different times. He said samples of the Togolese register do not bear the names of the supposed voters, their age or gender.
Inherent in the MPP's claim is that the Ghanaian electoral register was compiled in 2012, while that of Togo was compiled in 2013 and revised in 2015. On what basis can it be said that 3 years after the elections have been held in Ghana, voters whose nationality the MPP questions on the basis of the fictitious 2015 Togolese register influence the outcome? Is it the case that the MPP is saying that Ghanaians rather registered in Togo to influence the outcome of the Togolese elections? Unless they tell us that, there is absolute certainty that people cannot move from Ghana to register in Togo. So they are very certain that that way flow is not possible. It is only there and then that they can then conclude that even if they found the names of people on the register, both in Ghana and in Togo, it can only happen that they were Togolese who came to register in Ghana.
Stephen Ketia stressed that the NPP's call for a new register because the old register contains names of people who registered with the NHIA card cannot be sustained. He said CI-72 allows prospective voters to use an old voter ID to get a new one. He noted that a new register cannot address the issue of minors in the voter register. He accused the NPP of peddling falsehood to cover up its abysmal performance in 2012.
However, the MPP says it did not say that the country needs a new voter register because Ghanaians have lost hope in the Electoral Commission. Director of Communications of the party, Nana Kumia, who was reacting to the NDC's press conference yesterday, said the MPP only made a suggestion due to the numerous problems with regards to double voting that characterized the 2012 elections, hence their call on the EC to consider a new register. Mr. Kumia said it is surprising that the NDC has become a spokesperson for the EC, which rather did not find any fault in the MPP's request for a new voters register. He spoke with Agatha Samoa on the Amber News.
There are many parties to an election. One party has made a suggestion to the Electoral Commission who conducts the election. The Electoral Commission itself is not complaining about the suggestion. One party, we are just one party, and you've taken it upon yourself to speak for the Electoral Commission. The Electoral Commission says, I'm considering the suggestion. I've gotten some evidence. I am now going to weigh the evidence. What is the interest of the NDC that they now take it upon themselves to try and rubbish the NPP suggestion? Is there anything in the current register that they are afraid they will lose if the register is done again? A new register, if it improves the current register, would be near to the benefit of the entire electoral system.
That was Director of Communications of the NPP, Nana Akumia.
The Executive Committee of the CPP in the Upper West Region has pledged its unflinching support for Professor Edmond Dele to emerge as the party's chairman in the upcoming National Congress. This, the Executive Committee said, will enable Professor Dele to take back the chairmanship, which he lost in 2007. The Upper West Regional Secretary of the CPP, Sahak Suleiman, said this at a news conference in Wa. Here's a report by Philip Tengzu.
The National Delegates Congress of the CPP
slated for September 18 to 19 this year, is expected to elect national executives of the party with the mandate of leading the CPP to victory in next year's parliamentary and presidential elections. Addressing the media, the Upper West Regional Secretary of the CPP, Isahak Suleiman, noted that Professor Edmond Dele, who is also a lecturer at the Nyankpala campus of the UDS, has remained committed to the cause of the party even after losing his chairmanship to Samia Nkrumah in 2011. Mr. Suleiman said, in view of the astuteness and personal attributes of Professor Dele, the Upper West Regional executives of the party have decided to unanimously throw their weight behind him to emerge victorious in his quest to lead the party. Mr. Suleiman called on the rank and file of the CPP to give their support to the professor to ensure success for the party come December next year.
That report was filed by Philip Tengzu.
And in international news, six policemen have been injured by a car bomb that exploded outside a state security building in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, this morning. In a statement, the Interior Ministry said a man suddenly stopped his car in front of the state security building, jumped out of it, and fled on a motorbike that followed the car. Residents across Cairo reported hearing and feeling a large blast just before 2 a.m. The blast left a crater in the street and partially destroyed the building. There are no reports of any deaths.
The UN says months of conflict in Yemen has pushed the country to the brink of famine. The head of the World Food Programme, WFP, Sarin Kazan, said markets in the country do not have enough food to feed the population. Ms. Kazan, who was speaking in Cairo after a three-day trip to Yemen, said aid agencies are also unable to reach areas of need because of the ongoing violence. The WFP estimates that nearly 13 million people urgently require help.
And now to the news, the main points again. The National Labour Commission has directed the Ghana Medical Association to call off its strike immediately. In a statement signed by the Executive Secretary of the Commission, Dr. Mrs. Bernice Welbeck, the Commission also called on government and the GMA to resume negotiations and report to it on Monday at 4 p.m. Stakeholders in the oil palm industry are advocating the establishment of a board to regulate activities in the sector. At the forum in Accra yesterday, the stakeholders said the lack of a board is a setback to the growth of the oil palm industry. And a car bomb that exploded outside a state security building in Egypt's capital has injured six policemen this morning. In a statement, the Interior Ministry said a man suddenly stopped his car in front of the state security building, jumped out of it, and fled on a motorbike that followed the car. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Samuel Essa in Accra.